Over the last several weeks, we have embarked on an exciting journey of seeking the Lord in both private and corporate prayer. And I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for how God has moved in our readings, in our prayer groups, and through our services as we have sought Him in special ways, and hope that what we have encouraged and experienced these last few weeks will be the new normal for us. To God be the glory. 2 weeks ago in this service, we examined Moses' prayer in Exodus 33 and learned what it meant for God to go with us in all that we say and do, both as families and as a church family. Last week, we learned what it means to pray for God's deliverance from 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19, and came to understand why we can trust the Lord with all that concerns us. And this week, as we conclude the 21 days of prayer effort, though we will certainly never abandon the call to purposeful, passionate, and prolific prayer, I wanted to examine in a special way Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 6, and the disciples' prayer there, which says simply, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. And there are two components of the prayer in this passage that together are going to remind us all in a special way of how important the object of our faith really is. And so if you have your copy of the text with you this morning, turn with me if you would. Luke 17, again, we're going to be in verses 5 and 6, just two verses today. If you would stand in honor of reading God's word, I will read this, we will pray, and we will trust that the Spirit will teach us this morning. Luke 17, beginning in verse 5, says this, "The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith, like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Let us pray. Lord, we ask that just as the disciples came needy before you, asking to have you increase their faith, that, Lord, as we look at this text, you would teach us what it means to have faith in an almighty God who intervenes in the lives of his people. We pray that you alone would be glorified, but all that you say and do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look, as I mentioned, at two components of this prayer. And the first component is simply this, the request for more faith. The request for more faith given in verse 5. In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, the larger context in which this falls right in the middle of, the reader finds himself or herself amid a practical series of teachings that Jesus is offering his disciples. Each set of instructions distills an important value related to discipleship, and for that reason ought to be taken seriously by followers of Christ, both then and now. The first instruction given in this chapter forbade the propensity some had to be a stumbling block to others in verses 1 through 2. The second practical instruction that Jesus gives to his disciples concerns how frequently one ought to forgive a repentant brother or sister. Jesus gives that in verses 3 and 4. And here in verses 5 and 6, what we read earlier, we have what concerns the third value that disciples ought to take seriously, and that is faith. In fact, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had sought to teach his apostles about faith. Faith, in fact, was required to follow him in the first place, as each one of the disciples was called, all the way back in Luke earlier in his gospel, Luke 5 and chapter 6. An absence of faith was rebuked as sharply as the raging sea after Jesus calmed the storm in Luke chapter 8, when Jesus said, "Ye of little faith." A woman's faith in Jesus was said to make her well in Luke chapter 8, when she reached out and touched his garment. Faith was tested when the disciples were sent out for ministry and challenged to take nothing with them for the journey in Luke chapter 9 and later in Luke chapter 10. This is just a small sampling of lessons concerning faith that the disciples had already enjoyed. And at this point in their discipleship, they were probably just now beginning to realize how important faith really was to their lives and to their development as they sought in increasing ways to follow Christ and to serve Christ. And perhaps this is what motivates the request made here, at least in part. The disciples bring the request here in verse 5 to the Lord. He is, after all, the proper destination and recipient of a disciple's cares, concerns, and challenges. We talked about that last week. Casting all of our cares upon the Lord. Here the disciples take their issue, their care, to the Lord, who alone can grant what they believed they needed. And while it was certainly Jesus that heard this request, the title Lord used here highlights his divinity and the disciples' submission to their master. Like needy students asking for help on their most important assignment, these disciples bring their humble request to their teacher, their rabbi, a rabbi who just so happens to be the Lord God Almighty. And just as an aside, that in and of itself ought to have us ask this question: who do you take it to when you're in need? Who do you take your concerns to? Who do you share your cares with, first and foremost? Where do you direct what concerns you when those things arise? Taking a cue here from our disciples, we ought to take it first and foremost to the Lord. To the Lord with what concerns us. And what concerns the disciples here is their faith. The request is finally made here at the end of verse 5. Increase our faith. The disciples knew enough about following Jesus that faith would be required. And they knew enough about themselves to realize that faith is what they lacked. And so they make this simple plea, increase our faith. However, let's be honest about who these disciples are and pay careful attention to the way in which this request is uttered. After all, what, at least in this context of Luke, appeared to motivate this request? What happened just before this? What is Jesus teaching on right before they make this request? Don't forget just how human these disciples were. Time and time again, they trip over themselves, get in their own way, and embarrass each other. Fear, doubt, ignorance, confusion, arrogance, and thick-headedness were often the order of the day for this ragtag bunch of men. They were hardly the dream team that any one of us may have chosen, but Jesus had chosen them. He had chosen them nonetheless, despite their flaws and failures and foibles. And it was Jesus' chore to coach these men so that they could be sent out and make disciples who would themselves make disciples. But even in the most recent instructions they received from their master, even in what he was teaching them right before they make this request, the disciples demonstrate just how much more they needed to grow. Take verses 3 through 4, for instance, the verses immediately preceding the request. Watch yourselves, Jesus says, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Simple instructions are on forgiveness are provided here. And yet, given the request made here of increase our faith, you would have thought Jesus was asking them to raise the dead. It's as though the very thought of such radical forgiveness seems so beyond them that all they could respond is, I don't have faith for that. How in the world am I supposed to forgive someone who comes back to me and repents, even if they come back again and again and again? You need to increase my faith. I can only imagine Jesus being tempted to say, even under his breath, really? That's what you're hung up on? This forgiveness piece? You're still struggling to forgive those who are repentant? I think it's very important to highlight just how awkward and how interestingly the placement of this request is. As you read it, you might even be tempted to think Luke was a bit clumsy in his writing here as this request interrupts the flow of the greater passage. But this awkwardness, among other things, seeks to serve as a reminder of just how immature the disciples were, at least at this point in their development. A request for an increase of faith here almost highlights just how little faith the disciples had to begin with, even not having the faith required to forgive those who are repentant. It's not as though they were halfway there, or even a third or a quarter of the way there. This request, at least given here, demonstrates that they're still at start in so many ways when it came to faith. Even struggling with the amount of faith they would need to forgive. This is why Jesus responds to the request in the way that he does. In the second component, the response concerning faith's capacity. The response concerning faith and its capacity. It's very important to point out the conjunction of verse 6. But the Lord said. One might substitute however here, or rather, to better communicate that Jesus is introducing a correction here, or a redirection for the disciples. The use of this conjunction in this context suggests a contrast or an opposing thought to the idea to which it is connected. And it's not the first time that Jesus responds to a question or request with such a redirection to what is ultimately true. And this is important, at least potentially. As awkward as this prayer was, Jesus hears it and answers it in a way that would help the disciples appropriately. Don't you know that God can do the same with your prayers today? God is big enough to respond to your awkward prayer. In fact, while he does so in ways we may not always expect, he always responds in ways that we need as we seek to grow in him. Many of us are afraid of getting it wrong in prayer. God can handle that. And if he needs to redirect you, guess what? He's God, and he can. And I don't mind telling you, as your pastor, some of y'all need some redirection, all right? I can't give it. God can. I need redirection. I'm not always getting it right in my prayer life. But praise God that when I need to be redirected, I can be redirected very easily at his hand. The disciples came asking for an increase in their faith. And Jesus uses this as an occasion to teach an important truth about faith. He begins by saying in verse 6, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. Now, if the reader were to stop here with just, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, if you stopped right there and heard nothing else, what conclusion might you reach about the capacity of the disciples' faith at present? The mustard seed was proverbially one of the smallest seeds known at the time that this was written. And it was often used in Judaism as a euphemism for something very small. By saying, if you had even just a wee bit of faith, Jesus is suggesting that the disciples didn't seem to have even that much. If you even had a little bit of faith. If they even had a little bit of faith in Jesus, they might have responded differently to the storm they endured on the Sea of Galilee in Luke chapter 8. Instead, they proved they had little to no faith, which is why Jesus asks there, where is your faith? If they had even a little bit of faith in the Lord, they would have called upon him when they confronted a demon-possessed boy in Luke chapter 9. But instead, ineffectively, they depend on themselves, leaving Jesus to conclude that they were of an unbelieving and a perverted generation in Luke chapter 9. Here, Jesus says, even if you had a little bit of faith, Jesus could not always count on these disciples having much faith at all. Making the response here especially sharp. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed might read, I wish you had faith even the size of a mustard seed. Even just a little bit of faith. They're asking for more. Jesus hoped they would exercise even a little. Why? Because as Jesus continues, if the disciples even had just a small amount of faith, they could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. Now just consider for a moment the word picture this hypothetical command elicits. Say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. The tree Jesus had in mind may have been a tree that he actually saw right before them wherever he was saying this. Many speculate it could have been a black mulberry tree, which has a vast root system enabling it to live up to 600 years. To uproot it required a major effort as the roots spread far and deep. Also, to then plant it in the sea is an odd paradoxical image, since the roots of this particular tree, this particular species of tree, were not established easily in water, but in a particular kind of soil. Jesus' carefully crafted hypothetical scenario posits a veritable impossibility. But those with even a little faith know that the object or person of one's faith is in such a person where all things are possible. And here's the point. Jesus knows his disciples are flawed, feeble, and fickle. He's the realist in this passage about just how much faith can fit in such a vessel like one of his disciples. And this is why the bar is brought exceedingly low, mustard seed low. Even mustard seed faith has an enormous capacity because it's not about how much faith one can have, but about in whom faith is placed. Jesus was not about to have these disciples trust in how much faith they could accumulate for themselves. He wanted them to know how great and awesome God is and to trust in that even just a little bit. After all, as Luke has already revealed in chapter 1, verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. He doesn't say nothing will be impossible with your great faith. Jesus doesn't say in John 15, apart from a great store of faith, you can do nothing. Why? Because he who is mighty, it is God who is mighty, and it is God who has done great things, and holy is his name. It's apart from him that we can do nothing. It is him that can do the impossible. And friends, the same is true today. I don't know if you know this, but God knows you. He's a realist about you. He knows how flawed, feeble, and fickle you and I prove to be. But guess what? He loves you. And he desires to use you for his glory. And this is why he has brought the bar exceedingly low for us. Mustard seed low. God doesn't want you to trick yourself into seeking to be the hero of your story, but to trust in him as the hero. He would rather you realize that greater is he that is in you than kid yourself into believing that with a little practice and growth, you can be great all on your own. Let me say that again. He would rather you realize that greater is he that is in you than have you kid yourself into believing that with a little practice and growth, you can be great all on your own. The Lord would prefer a little faith in a great God than great faith in a small God. That equation, humble faith, little faith, mustard seed faith, plus a great God, can accomplish the impossible. It can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey. You know, another passage comes to mind that illustrates this in a powerful way. It's found in Mark chapter 9. There, Jesus confronts a demon-possessed boy who was violently afflicted with an evil spirit. The father of the child had already sought help from the disciples, and yet they were unable to heal him. Later we learn that they failed to provide any assistance or healing because they had chosen to take the matter into their own hands, failing to even pray about it. They had trusted in their words and methods rather than the power of God. Not a winning combination, and certainly not something that God will honor with a miracle. Even before this lesson is learned, the man brings the boy to Jesus. And he says something very interesting. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Here's a man at the end of his rope. He's gone everywhere. He's looked behind every door he can think of to find help for his son. He's desperate, and he's totally dependent on Jesus to come through and to save his boy. But even in this request, he's struggling to believe. Even in this desperate plea, he says, if you can do anything. Jesus calls attention to this. When he responds in verse 23 of Mark chapter 9, and to the man he says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus invites the man who is bringing his boy to him to exercise faith, even just a little bit, in the one who can heal his son. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. If there was an example of mustard seed faith, there it is. If I do believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus heals this boy, doing what appeared to be the impossible, even when this father was struggling to exercise just even a little bit of faith. But you see, it was a little bit of faith in a great and an awesome God. Just trust me. Just trust me, even just a little bit. I love the disciples. Increase our faith. Jesus says, what faith? I wish you would have just a little bit and watch what I can do. Watch what I can do. Now, I want to be very clear. Before anyone misunderstands me, it is possible to grow in faith. We do, in fact, see the disciples mature. We see a very different group, especially after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is sent. And those who were doubting and tripping over themselves end up planting the church. Remains to this day in amazing ways. And the truth is, your faith today should look different than it did years ago, and it should look different years from now as you walk with Christ. That said, God's will is not dependent on how much faith we have in any given moment or season, just as it was not dependent on how much faith the disciples had. God's will is dependent on who God is and what he desires to do. Listen, God knows us. He knows you. He knows me. He knows how fragile we are, how fickle we can be. And yet he created us. He saved us. He commissioned us nonetheless. All he desires of us is faith. Faith in him. Some days that faith is strong. Some days that faith may struggle. But God, I'm here to tell you, can accomplish much with even a mustard seed kind of faith. Because he is unlimited by what limits us. He is steadfast in our slush. He is strong in our weakness. Isn't it good to be reminded today that he desires to use us despite how limited and disappointing we can prove to be? When we pray, increase our faith, what we are really saying is increase our awareness of who you are and what you can do, even or especially when I find it difficult to believe that you will move. Even or especially when I'm struggling. When I say, along with the the man in Mark chapter 9. I believe, but help my unbelief. Are you there? Are you there today? In a few moments, we're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe you find yourself in a predicament where you're struggling. You're struggling even just to believe just a little bit that God's got this, whatever this is for you. That God's still working, even when you can't perceive any movement. That God has a plan, even when you're unaware of the next steps. And maybe you're here today, and maybe the invitation is simply to say, along with the man of Mark chapter 9, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm struggling. That's an okay place to be. It's a mustard seed faith kind of place to be. And you know what? God can do a lot when we surrender that kind of faith to Him. If we can encourage you, pray for you in any way, we'd love to encourage you, pray with you about what it is that you're struggling to believe God for this morning. Maybe you want to come here at the front and pray at this altar. We'll have members of our prayer team here who will pray for you as well. But let's not get it twisted. We don't pray so that we could become part, that we don't become the hero of our story. We pray to the hero amid the struggle. Will you stand with me as we pray together? Prepare our hearts. Lord, we are so grateful that you both know us and you love us. Wow. You know us and you saved us through Jesus. You know us and you want to use us. Go figure. And Lord, I pray that our response to that love and to that grace and to that commission would be to have faith in you, even if it's just a little bit. Lord, there are people here today that are struggling. They're at the end of their rope. They don't know where to go, what to do. I pray that God, you would minister to them in a mighty way and that they would trust you even just a little bit because you are a great God. Lord, we pray that you would lead in these moments as we reflect and as we respond and that you would have your way as we come before you again in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.